The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey there, you wascally wabbits. Kevin Goatee here, gutting the sacred cow. New episode this week. We've got Tristan Circa 89 making his Gutting the Sacred Cow debut. He's from Geek Vibe Nations, and boy, he wants to tell everybody why Jerry Maguire is just plain drivel. You complete me? Yeah, to drinking. Joining me as co-host for this is Random Rob, as in the 3R show, Random Ramblings with Rob. Great dude, been on the show a bunch. He's sitting in the co-host chair, and we're going to see if Tristan Circa 89 can tell us why Jerry Maguire should be shown the door and not the money.
Gather round, here's what I know. It's just that this cow has got to go. I know some people kinda like it, yeah.
It's the same old story. Boy finds girl, boy loses girl, girl finds boy, boy forgets girl, boy remembers girl. Girl dies in a tragic blimp accident over the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day. Good year? No. The worst. B Rob from Random Ramblings of Rob. What's up, buddy? What is that film?
Don't make me lie to you.
We're going to know real fast if you're lying to me or not.
Oh, yeah.
No idea, I assume.
No, not a clue.
We're going to go to our guest, Tristan. What's up, buddy? How are you? Do you know what film that those lines are from?
That sounds so familiar, but I'm drawing a blank right now.
Wow. So as you say what it is, I'm going to be like, oh, I knew that. Yeah.
You both are going to know it because you both have seen this movie a million times. Naked Gun.
I own it.
I yes, do too.
Dang it.
Yeah, you own a lot of movies, a lot of bad ones too, but good ones as well. But man, everyone owns Naked Gun. How do you not know that one?
It's been a long time since I've seen that. I haven't seen that since I was like a kid.
I rewatch that every so often. And in fact, I watch it New Year's Eve with the wife, and boy, it does not miss a beat. It is still perfect. Kevin Goatee here, folks. Welcome to the best movie review, movie debate podcast out there, where we give a platform to those with people who have unpopular opinions, excuse me, about some of our most popular movies. Today, we've got Tristan hanging out with us today. Tristan, you hail off from the Geek Vibes Network crew, correct?
Yes, the Geek Vibes Station.
The Geek Vibes group has been amazing to us. They've always supported us, retweeted us. Tia was on. Big fan of those guys and girls. They're awesome. Tristan has decided to do the 1996 rom-com special, off-quoted, never duplicated, Jerry Maguire. A 1996 budget of $50 million, a box office haul of $273.6 million. Turn that into 2023 money, $90.8 million budget, box office haul, $496.9 million. That is a 5.5x ROI. Not that bad. But probably, it is a lot of money. But in the Tom Cruise, you know, universe, probably middle of the pack for what he's done.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you have that kind of credit to your name, you have the world by the balls, boys. IMDb, as we know, is a scale 1 through 10 with decimal points. We're going to my guest, Tristan, first. Tristan, what do you think Jerry Maguire has on the old IMDb?
And people really like it. So it is on a scale of 1 to 10.
1 to 10 with decimal points.
Probably has like a 9.5.
That's
kind of high.
That's kind of high is right. But is he right, though? We'll find out. Rob, what do you think it scored?
I know exactly what it is because I looked at this already.
Then you're going to recuse yourself because then you know the answer would be 7.3.
Wow, really?
You're a bit high there, Tristan.
I feel like people really love it, so...
That much they love it. 9.5 is like Die Hard, I thought, you know.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Or, and that's like out of 200,000 some odd votes and shit.
Yep. Let's go to the critics, Rotten Tomatoes. We're going to go to Rob. Did you look at that score as well? Those my
I did not.
Okay. Rotten Tomatoes, 1 through 100, Rob. Let's hear it, pal. What do you have?
Sheesh. 1 to 100. I'm saying... maybe 86.
86. Tristan, what do you have?
See, I was going to say 80. So I was, right there in the 80s.
The both of you are very close, just hovering right around it. 84.
I'm the closest. You're the closest. He's the closest because I went over.
Price is Right rules are in effect for this game, gentlemen. So knowing that in mind, let's go to Tristan. Audience Rotten Tomato score. What did Jerry Maguire get on the audience score?
This should be interesting.
I'm tempted to go higher, but I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to say 90.
Rob, what do you have?
I'm going to say 93.
I'm going to say you're both not anywhere close. 79.
Okay, that makes sense.
Quotes, I'm Mr. Black People.
Oh, yeah.
Next one. You're my motherfucker.
So now I want y'all to know that today was my very first time seeing this movie in full.
What?
Really?
I've never seen this movie from end to end. I know of it. I know of the quotables or whatever. But unfortunately for me today, the version that I watched was the edited version. So I did not get all the cool cuss words.
Oh, well, let's give you another one. I'm all heart, motherfucker. Mm-hmm. You had me at hello and the obvious show me the money. Wait, let's go back to that. Rob, did you like watch the TBS version or some shit or the free version?
I watched the free version, the one that I didn't have to pay for.
God damn. $3. You make enough money, right? I'll Venmo you $3.
Well, I was going to do that, but like I had to do this kind of while I was at work, but so it was, I'm going to put this movie in my collection. And I was like, yeah, maybe I can get it. But I was like, I got to have the physical copy. There ain't no way in hell that I was going to get home in time to watch the whole thing. So I was just like, fuck it. This is free. Let me get it. Let me watch it.
I mean, you could have gotten the iTunes version on your phone and watched it, but okay. By the way, I didn't know you're not allowed to watch movies while being a snuff film director.
Oh, okay.
Just blow up your spot. I couldn't think of a better job. That was funny. So I went to the reflex. Did you guys have any quotes that stood out to you? Tristan, let's kick it off to you, the guest. Any quotes that I did not mention that jumped out to you?
The line where he tells her, you complete me, which is complete bullshit. Yeah,
I left that one out there for you guys. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I am Mr. Black People or whatever. It got me because like, I'd never seen this movie before, and to hear that come out of his mouth, I was like, whoa.
Did you just cock an eyebrow in your head to the side like, huh?
I was like, this is 90s. It's okay.
right, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to fly today. Any other quotes? No. Any other quotes today, gentlemen?
Not that I can come to my brain right now.
Yeah, me either.
Let me enlighten you fellas with 5 fun facts.
It's a lot of ifs.
I love alliteration. You should know that by now, Rob. How many times have I done your show?
A lot.
Do you want to take a guess on how many on two guys who were pretty much doing this film, but then backed out? I'll give you hints, of course. One of them is an absolute megastar from the 80s, 90s to this day. The other guy was a star really 90s, 2000, and it's kind of petered off, but has maybe made a little bit of a reemergence. Two guys given to me, which is seeking
one cup.
They should recast that. They recast that with two trans people. I'd love to see that.
Oh my. So, this would be people who signed on to do the film, but pulled out. What were they supposed to be the role?
They were supposed to be. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry. Jerry. They were supposed to be Jerry Maguire.
Damn. 90s.
I feel like I've come across this before. Like I've read about this somewhere, but
I never cared to think about anything like that.
Because Tom Cruise is so great. Like I can't imagine anybody else playing him, but playing Jerry Maguire, but.
Can we say Bruce Willis?
You can say Bruce Willis, but I can say you're wrong.
I know I'm wrong.
Hey, shot in the dark never hurts. Tristan, a guess, or shall I move along?
Okay, so let me ask you this. Like, is it somebody who, like, these, you know, are these people that we would be like, wait, that person? Like, is it just somebody who's way off? Like, were they?
Brandon Fraser.
No. One is a megastar really till today. And the other guy, like I had said, was a kind of hit his stride around late 80s, 90s, and then 2000s. I'll give you more of it. He had a hit in 2000 that blew up and that carried him for a little bit, kind of petered off, and now has made a little bit of a reemergence.
This is really frustrating me. Let's move on.
Russell Crowe was the guy, was one of them. He took so long doing the script. Oh, sorry, I took that back. I'm looking at another part. Never mind. Forget Russell Crowe. Because I put Crowe, and I thought it was Russell Crowe. I meant Cameron Crowe. Shoot me in the face. The actor who was, again, the megastar, Tom Hanks.
Huh.
Tom Hanks, Russell Crowe, and I should put first names from now on. Russell Crowe, God damn it, I did it again. Cameron Crowe took so long doing the script that Hanks was no longer a 35-year-old man by the time they shot. He was almost 40 and had two Academy Awards and wanted to direct films as opposed to star. He told Cameron Crowe said in 1997, Hanks rejected the earlier script version because he did not buy the marriage part.
Yeah.
Not the only one.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Once all right, save your notes. You know the drill. Cuba Gooding and Tom Cruise read the locker room scene because Gooding was auditioning for the film. He said, "Am I naked in the scene?" Cameron Crowe said, "Yes." Cuba Gooding snapped off his pants and stood naked. And Cameron writes, "Come on, let's go." Stunned and laughing as we watched, beckoned with his hands. Cuba Gooding Jr. said, as in, "Bring it on. Let's read the scene." And then he shouts joyously, "I'm going to get this part. I ain't afraid of nothing." And then Russell Crowe said, "Action." Cruise yelled out, "You got the part. Let's go celebrate. No, leave your clothes here. We'll just go right to my trailer right now and celebrate." The second half is what I made up. The first half is completely true.
Jonathan, I can imagine that.
Jonathan Lipnicki, the little kid, has a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. I guess he likes reminding people that the human head does weigh 8 pounds after he has him in a chokehold after they provoke him at a bar.
Oh, hell yeah, because that 8 pounds is going to the ground.
Do you know the human head? It weighs lights out. No, you're not going to guess this. Connie Britton was almost cast as Dorothy Boyd. They brought Renee Zellweger in last. Connie Britton was heartbroken and joked she didn't get the part because, quote, maybe because I was too tall.
Yeah, because that's a short motherfucker.
Yeah. He is.
Last one. This is funny as hell. Cuba Gooding's dad was banned on set. Cuba Gooding Jr. talked how his dad, Cuba Gooding Sr., yeah, as if we needed to know that, didn't hold back on the set. Cuba introduced his dad to Tom Cruise, and the dad gave Tom Cruise a hug and said, "But seriously, are you gay or not?"
Damn.
Cuba later scolded his dad, saying, "You can't keep your lips loose, and they move too fast." So he flat out trying to out Tom Cruise on set.
Allegedly. I don't, that seems about brand because I see how Junior is. I can only imagine how Senior is.
Yeah. Senior may be on the level of Kanye when he's got a few drinks on him.
Maybe.
And now, folks, let's have the audience get on the fun as we have them ask a gutter. And I lost my spot here, of course. Here we go. And the first question is from at Newark Knight, Brandon Oglesby. Does Jerry Maguire count as a sports film? Second part is You Complete Me, the cheesiest rom-com line.
Yes, on both.
This is for the gutter, Rob, not for the co-host.
but I agree. Like, I feel like it works better as a sports film. Like, that should have been all it was. But, like, you know, I'll get to that later. But, yeah, You Complete Me. I feel like it doesn't work for this movie. I mean, in general, it is cheesy, but it coming from Jerry Maguire is gotcha. Bullshit. So,
as a sports snob, this is not a sports film, fellas. This is a rom-com. This is an agent movie. There is about exactly 4 minutes, maybe, of sports footage. This is not a sports film. I'm going to veto any possible attempts of overriding that idea.
And I wrote my notes. I was like, this comes off like, not that there's anything wrong with like romantic comedies or chick flicks, but I was like, it comes off like a romantic comedy disguised, trying to disguise itself as a sports film. But
nice try, Cameron Crowe. I'm not buying this shit.
It's like, hey, man, we got to get the bros in here. And then they're like, aw.
Next question. At Lord Snurts, only saw Jerry Maguire once in the theater. Most remember the frequently quoted, show me the money. What other overused 90s quotes should be put to rest? Ooh, good question. 90s overused quotes.
Shit.
Huh. I've got a lot of them.
I'm very bad at this.
how about Run, Forrest, Run?
True.
That one's annoying.
Any quote from Clueless needs to be retired.
Clive, as if. Terrible. As much as I love this movie, it pains me to say, but hasta la vista, baby. I love T2. We all love T2.
Who the hell is saying that?
People here and there.
Okay.
Any other ones jump out at you, fellas?
Nah, not really. I mean, shit. I mean, you said some ones that I was like, who the fuck say that?
Yeah, I'm trying to think any other big ones from the 90s that are just kind of, it'll come to me.
Yeah, after the show's over.
Yeah. But next, seriously, though, please, I was going to say, everyone, retire the Clueless quotes. It was a long time ago. Let's let that go.
Was Mean Girls? No, Mean Girls was after, it was like early 2000s. Never mind.
Yeah,
you don't even go here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, there we go.
How about American Pie, where it's this MILF, 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 MILF.
I don't think the MILFs are ever going to go away.
No, but just these channels. I love American Pie. That's not going to twist it. Okay, next one. At Ty Tannenbaum, is Jerry Maguire imbued with any Scientology self-actualization nonsense? I don't think so either, Ty.
I don't want to speak a certain way about that type of stuff anyway. We might get a hit put out on us.
Yeah, that was so 1997, bro. The Scientology mob is they're down. They're not looking to assail you for any kind of nay speak. Also, Jerry Maguire is one of those VHS tapes that you always see on VHS at the Goodwill. It's sold like gangbusters, like Apollo 13 and Titanic. Oh, there you go. Two more. A, I'm the king of the world. B, Houston, we have a problem. Two more that need to be retired.
There you go. I mean, then I live in Houston, so I do hear that one.
Right. At Eric 4953, did they ever explain in Jerry Maguire what happened to the fish that he stole?
It's still in the tank. The lady wound up keeping it.
Yes, in Dorothy's living room.
Mm-hmm. Right. Am I also follow up? Am I the only one who laughs at the bitter, angry, divorced wives club meeting? Yuck. And they wonder why they are divorced. Guess who talks about that in his notes? Me.
Good.
I'm sure Chris, Tristan, you do as well.
Yes.
How many copies of Jerry Maguire have been bought for $5.99 at Walmart?
A lot.
Yeah. Too many to count.
I think they used to give them away when you walked in. Hi, oh, welcome to Walmart. Here's a copy.
With some guy with a big goiter out of the side of his neck handing them out to you.
Hey, man, don't talk about Jerry like that. I know that guy.
And that's gonna do it for this section of Ask a Gutter. So, Rob, let's have Tristan. He's playing it kind of coy. He's one of those gunslingers. He's got his hand right there, but he's not ready to pull the trigger quite yet. But I think he's about ready to. Let's have Tristan do what I know he's gonna do quite aptly, and that is gut the sacred cow.
I feel like you should have some visual effects, like the words just pop up on the screen and shit.
I should do that, but that's all done in post. So too bad you're not going to see that right now.
Damn it.
All right, so let's get into this. Jerry Maguire. This is a film about a talented sports agent who falls from grace after he has this crisis of conscience, and he decides, he writes this memo about how he wants to change his industry. You know, what does he say? Less clients or fewer clients, less money, or something like that.
Yeah, more relationship orientated than everything.
Wants to be more relational, less transactional. Beautiful, you know, it's a beautiful idea. I feel like it has the makings of a great movie. We've been duped into believing that Jerry goes on this epic journey of self-reflection and change. And that's complete bullcrap. And I would argue that he doesn't really change much. He changes a little, but he doesn't change much by the end of the film. So let's start with, I'll actually start with his relationship with Rod, because that'll be quick to get out of the way. I actually, like, going into this, I was going to talk about how he treats Dorothy. And so, like, that was what I was going to be focusing on. But I rewatched the movie this past weekend. And so the great thing about his relationship with Rod is that we actually see him, you know, he treats Rod like he's been treating Rod like crap. That's the impression we get at the beginning of the film. Like, he neglects him out of all of his clients. And then suddenly Rod is the only one he has left. And they build a relationship. You see him putting in work to, like, gain Rod's trust and brotherhood and admiration and respect.
Now, which he should have done from the beginning.
From the beginning. There we go. But what gets me, when I was watching this film, I thought about, like, you know, there's that you know, the scene I'm talking about at the end when Rod gets injured and he's unconscious. And, you know, Rod's wife, played by Regina Hall, calls him. And Jerry's like, well, this is what gets me. He tells her there are great doctors on the field.
And
all the doctors are doing, but they were just snapping, like, they were just clapping to wake him up. I was like, what kind of doctoring is that?
Witchcraft, that's what it is.
Yeah, it looked like it was just the coaches and the assistant staff and shit.
Yeah, and they're just clapping. Okay, so then he gets up and does his little dance, and everybody loves him. And then he gets his contract. And then, you know, before that, he and Jerry hug. But here's what gets me about that scene. So at the beginning of the film, remember, Jerry is visiting his client, like, Steve Rumo.
Yeah.
And the guy's gotten, like, 4 concussions. And so his son, who's played by Drake Bell, goes out into the hallway and is talking to Jerry, like, who's going to stop him? And Jerry's like, oh, you know, we could never stop your dad. And the son's like, you know, fuck you, yada, yada, yada. Again, I didn't realize that was Drake Bell until I watched it on Amazon. But so you would think with them showing that when Rod gets injured, he's an asshole. But, like, when Rod gets injured, I'm like, so Jerry, you know, even though he bounces back, you would think that Jerry would still kind of think back to what happened to Steve. I just wanted a line where he was like, hey, you know, Rod, I'm glad you're okay, but we're going to get that noggin checked out to make sure everything's good. Because, again, he doesn't want him to turn out like Steve, you know. So I'm like, so Jerry, did you not learn the lesson from what happened with Steve? Like, are you not concerned about Rod's, like, what's going to happen if this happens 2 or 3 more times? And what the, Jerry, like, why are you not thinking about this?
Well, I mean, this is 1996. And I ain't give a fuck about none of that.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Because, I mean, to be concussed and laid ablaze on the field is a badge of honor to show your toughness on the gridiron and shit.
But you know, it's right. Relational. Jerry has built this relational, you know, this relational journey with Rod. So he should care, right? Because he's changed. He's a more
he did care. Emotional. He hugged him.
But I, you know what? Okay, so, you know, no, I'm not backing down off of that. No, Jerry needs to acknowledge that he was concerned, that he was worried the same thing that happened to Steve might happen to Rod. I mean, everything that played out still could have played out the same way. I'm just saying, at least give me a line where Jerry acknowledges, like, hey, you know, again, this is great, but I just want to acknowledge that, you know, I'm concerned about you long term. That's what I was looking for.
I mean, and this is long before the Will Smith concussion doctor. I forgot the name of the doctor he portrayed.
Tell the truth.
Right. Yeah. They weren't doing this stuff back again, like you said, Rob, in the 90s. It was all just, he's got his bell rung, even though he ran to the wrong huddle on the field kind of thing. So I'm just, you can't really penalize it for the times that it was shot in, is my point.
Yeah, I mean, look at Unnecessary Roughness, The Last Boy Scout.
I rewatched Unnecessary Roughness 3 days ago, and it still is an abominable piece of shit. It is. I didn't smirk once. Sorry to interrupt you, Tristan. By my apologies.
No, you're good. You're good, y'all. I'm still not backing down off of this, though. He was there for the birth of this man's child.
True.
He has hung out with this man and his wife. He looks to Rod and his wife as like
a source
ideal.
Of inspiration. Yeah.
Yeah, as a source of inspiration, which we'll talk about with the problems with that in a second. But like, so that's not just his client. That's his friend. That's his brother. Like, they have a bond at this point. So I'm still saying that, Jerry, for you not to be concerned about that concussion and not to, I don't know, be thinking back to what happened to one of your previous clients. Do you really give a shit? Like, he has this contract now, so you're going to get your bonus. You're on your way back to being on top. Do you care about what's going to happen to Rod long term? I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, I mean, listen, I get that. I'll just play devil's advocate. McGuire's like, you know what? That's my meal ticket. Like, I can't have my guy out. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. He's more worried about his dollar than his client's life.
And True is like, from what I get from the movie or whatever, this dude was on the downtail of his career. This was going to be his last contract, and he was going to retire soon thereafter. So Jerry's whole goal was just to get him that deal that he wanted on the end so he can retire in lavish luxury and shit. So he didn't give a fuck after that. Once he got the contract, I mean, hey, I did my job. You know, what you do for these next 4 years or whatever, I mean, hey, I got you your money.
Right.
I don't know. So maybe we'll just agree to disagree on that one.
Sure.
Well, I'm agreeing with you. You saying he being a dick, kind of. Yeah. So, yeah.
Okay, you do. Okay.
Yeah, no, we're not doing the screen. Keep going, bud.
All right. So let's talk about his relationship with Dorothy, because that is the most, like, you know, Kevin, when you were introducing the film earlier, you talked about how it was a romantic comedy.
Right.
Why should people want to be like this couple? They are the most, like, dysfunctional, like, just, let's get into it. So
yes,
with Rod, would you guys agree that his relationship with Rod and his relationship with Dorothy are the two most important relationships in the movie?
Sure.
Correct.
Right. So like I mentioned earlier, and the fish.
And the kid.
Oh. So
and Kush.
So let's talk about how, okay, so with Rod in that relationship, you know, he that's a neglected client. We actually see him, again, like I mentioned earlier, earn Rod's admiration and respect. You know, there's that scene where Rod is doing that commercial and doesn't like it, and Jerry's like, okay, yeah, we're going to leave. Like, you see him actually stepping up to the plate, walking the walk, talking, he's actually walking the walk with Rod. What does he do in his relationship with Dorothy to show that woman that he really loves her? Like, so the last conversation they have before the "you complete me" line is when she says, you know, Jerry, I wrote down her quote. She says, "I have a great guy who loves my son and likes me a whole lot."
Yeah.
Okay, Dorothy. So then for the next time you see him, he says, he walks into the room and says hello. Mind you, she said he had her at hello. So he didn't have to get to the "you complete me." Mind you, she cuts, in his defense, I'll say that she actually cuts him off when he says, "you complete me." And he's about to explain why. But like, what does Jerry do to show her that? I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, with Rod, there's actual actions that he takes. With Dorothy, like, there's just nothing. There's just a toxic relationship. They both preyed on each other's loneliness, vulnerability. Like, Dorothy isn't innocent in this. Like,
so let's talk about Dorothy real quick.
Hold on. Hold on. Rob, let him do his notes, and then you got your notes section later
okay.
on. Okay. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Because I kind of want to just go with this guy.
Yeah. You got your notes. Let Tristan roll out here.
So, this was another thing that really made me mad about that, about how the movie ended. So they end up together, right? Okay, so remember at the beginning of the film, at his bachelor party, we see that video with all his ex-girlfriends. Mm-hmm. They all say Jerry can't be alone. Kelly Preston's character, who starts out as his fiance, when he's breaking up with her, she says, "Jerry, you can't be alone." So for the writers to emphasize that, just to have him end up with Dorothy, even though the film acknowledges that this is toxic, he doesn't really love her, they're both fulfilling a need that each other has, even though they're not really there yet. Like, what was the point of that? What was the point of that, the repeated line of Jerry can't be alone, he has intimacy issues, just for him to end up with Dorothy, who he had at hello, even though she had called him out in the previous scene about the fact that he doesn't love her? Dorothy, you know, Dorothy is too weak in the knees for me. Stand up, Dorothy. I need you to stand up, Dorothy, because you just, what is all this swooning? And if I can quote my sister, she was like, you know what was crazy about Dorothy? She left. She's a single mother who left her job for Dick.
Right.
Dick that she...
Potential Dick.
Potential Dick. Dick that she, it wasn't guaranteed. She didn't know if she would like it or not. He ended up being a dick, like really being a dick. So like, Dorothy, you're a fool right now. So why should we be rooting for you? Like, you're not innocent in this. You, I mean, like, can we talk about how Dorothy kept losing track of her kid? Like, I can't put it all in Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where is that Child Protective? That should have been
the first warning sign.
Yeah. Listen, Child Protective Services should also have been hired in this film.
Yes, Dorothy kept losing track of her kid. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not saying anything negative about single mothers. I can't imagine how hard it must be to raise a child by yourself. But like, Dorothy, I don't know. And there's one scene that really stood out to me as strange. The scene after, you know, the morning after they hooked up or whatever, when she's talking to her sister, she's like, I'm just so in love with him. I love the person he wants to be and who he is. And Jerry's just standing there listening. And even though he knows he doesn't love this woman, he proceeds with the relationship because he's heard all this stuff. She's feeding his ego. How psychotic is that?
100%.
Like, you know, like, he's just standing there. I was like, that's actually really creepy that he was just standing there listening and then decide, okay, I don't love her, but I'm going to. When she gets ready to move to San Diego, he lets this woman pack up. She's probably accepted the job, signed the lease and all that stuff. He waits until she's about to drive off. So
you know. Yeah, you're 100% right. He packs this shit up with her.
Yes.
Yeah, he's lugging stuff out, sweating, maybe pulled a back muscle, working his ass off, and then it's just like, I think now is the time to tell her right before I'm ready to lift the ramp up and push it in the back of the U-Haul, like, you know what? I want to marry you. Like, no, we could have saved ourselves all this work packing shit up, but like, nothing sucks more than moving. I don't care if you move across the street like I did, it still sucks. Yes. It is the worst. So we could have saved ourselves all that charade and just cut to the chase. Like, you know what? Hey, before you start putting stuff away, before you even buy boxes and packing tape, let's just have a conversation.
Just a quick one.
Yeah.
I mean, he probably went with her to look at apartments. She signed a lease. She probably moved her son's schools. I mean, shout out to Bonnie Hunt's character who plays her sister, Laurel, because she's in that kitchen. She's like, no, Dorothy, don't do it. Don't do it, Dorothy. Don't do it. Let's talk about how Laurel, before she even meets Jerry, she tells her, she's like, you're just his soft place to land. Like, she has Jerry's number before he even shows up to the door.
And I mean, everything look at the club.
Yeah, and everything. But it's so funny because everything Jerry does after she meets him and assumes how he's going to be, he proves her right. So I'm like, and then remember, even when he proposed to her, the first thing he said, he was like, I think I have an idea on how we can save money on insurance and medical bills. So he lets her know up front, this isn't really because I love you, but I think we can save some money here.
Also, it's like that hit kind of home for me because being in the military, you get a lot of arranged marriages for benefits and shit. So I was like, oh, this is familiar to me. This is old hat.
I thought you were going to say this hit home for you because you had a woman that you hired with a kid and you're like, you know what? I got to take care of her now and propose to her. This was not part of her benefits package, but it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I kind of jumped around, but like, yeah, this isn't a couple that people should aspire to be like, there's nothing romantic about their relationship, even down to the end of the movie. You're like, okay, so he decides to, you know, go home to her after seeing Rod, his wife, on the phone. But again, Jerry still, I mean, what has he shown? What has he done to show her he loves her? Like, what are the tangible actions that he takes? Because again, he apparently didn't have to do much because he had her at hello. But still, I'm like, on Jerry's end, like, okay, you showed up to the bitter women's group. Mind you, okay, these women were just pissed off the entire film.
And then
Jerry walks in with teary eyes, says, you complete me. They don't know what the hell he has put this woman through. And suddenly they're all crying and, oh, that's crazy. Even Laurel, the sister who did not like him throughout the entire fucking movie, is like, why are you crying, Laurel? Nothing that you said about him has been proven to be untrue at this point.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right.
And so, then even like before you walked in there, she was talking about, I used to talk down on y'all, how y'all be in here, be all bitter and shit.
Yeah, Dorothy's an asshole, because I was watching the movie. I forgot that she told them. She said, you know, I used to listen to you guys with these sob stories. But I'm like, yo, so you're telling them, like, but this is, like, real things that have happened to them. So to tell them their stories are sob stories, I'm like, again, I realized watching it again, Dorothy's kind of an asshole. She's not innocent in all
That's
of
why
this.
They meant to be together.
toxic. But, Jerry Maguire, I don't know why people hold this up, like, in that Dorothy and Jerry relationship is just some iconic love, because it's really toxic. He uses her, she uses him. Like, yeah, those are pretty much my points.
That's cool. All right, good. Give me a number 1 to 10 then, Tristan.
1 to 10. Okay, so you know what? Out the 5. I'm going to go with the 5.
All right, so you don't hate it. It's, you know, I get the point, though.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Excellent. Rob, why don't you be old number 2 here and jump in with your notes here, sir?
Well, shit, man. I'm right off the top. I took this movie for face value because, I mean, here it is, 2023, and this is my first time seeing a 1996 film.
With the curse words edited out, too, mind
you. Yes, with the curse words edited out. You know? So, like, it was crazy in the beginning when you had the, you know, the guy, his first client that was in the hospital with the concussion just sitting, you had, I guess you said the kid said, fuck you. It was right. Just like, the kid was like, forget you, you know, stuff like that. So that was kind of jarring because you can visibly see when a cuss word was edited and whatever, because, you know, you get the kung fu lips, be like, suck, you know. But let's break these two down a little bit. He was 35 years old, right? Up and coming. Goddamn agent and shit for this firm. And she was 25, 10 years his junior. And she already had a 5-year-old, which would have made her what, like 20, 21 when she got pregnant or some shit like that. So in a conversation with her sister, she said she'd been with 3 guys in 4 years. So that's like from what, 21 to right after she broke up with the baby daddy, I guess. Who was that, the sitter? Because I misunderstood that.
No, she said he died. And she said he
was
actually
died.
Really horrible.
You're right. You're right. You're right.
You know, maybe what's confusing, though? I'm just real quick. You know what's confusing? The kid remembers his dad because he's like, my mom took me to the zoo after my dad died. So he remembered the zoo visit, which means he probably remembered the dad's death.
Yeah.
But he's, you know what I'm saying? Like, timeline-wise, I'm trying to figure out when.
Yeah, this whole movie is weird.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, like, you talk about how fast they move in this relationship, but this movie doesn't establish a good timeline. Because it's just like, you see, you go to a scene, then you're in the next scene or whatever, and there's no established amount of time has passed. It seems like it's all just, you know, over the course of day by day when it's really not. You know, so, like, how they move so fast in this relationship, it doesn't make sense the way it was edited. You know, so... The line that stick out to me in my head when he had to talk with Rod about how he felt about Dorothy. And to me, it kind of defined his character a little bit because he comes from this world of being a goddamn, a businessman, you know, a go-getter, you know,
a salesman.
And his response was, I married her, you know, out of loyalty, you know, that kind of hit me, man. I was just like, damn. I was like, he does feel enough about her to arrange this marriage so he can take care of her, his business, and even the kid, because the kid has special needs. That's why they made the big harp about the insurance earlier on because the kid needed stuff.
I wouldn't say he's special needs. I just say he has medical issues. I think special needs, I think something else.
I mean,
I just think he's like asthmatic or his allergies. I would say, I wouldn't say special needs.
Yeah. I forget that word carries heavier weight than what I meant it as.
Sure.
But like he has specific medical needs. How about
right.
that?
That's fine. Yeah, sure. I'm with you.
So I kind of like give him a little bit for that because, you know, he could have been like, well, fuck that bitch. Let her figure it out on her own, you know, but he kind of stepped up in a, you know, helped her out in that aspect. But it's just like the dynamic between the two, I think, is because of the age gap, the 10-year difference and everything. This dude experienced 10 more years of life more than this girl had, who had a freaking baby at 20. So that's, you can imagine that was like either early college or right out of high school or some shit, you know? So it's just like this child, this, because I still call her a child because I have a kid around that age, still doesn't know shit about shit. So
does your kid climb on the carousel of a baggage in a terminal at the airport too?
No, because I watch my kids. That's why. And I don't give a fuck about being a single parent. And I know it can be overwhelming. I did the shit with two kids. So I didn't lose not now one of them. So, I mean, you need to get your head out of the clouds and everything, because you could tell she was enamored by him or whatever. And she had like this girlish, childlike glee affection toward this guy that she kind of idolized, especially after he wrote that little, you know, memoir type deal or whatever, because she was fucking stalking the dude essentially from the plane ride in the beginning of the movie, you know, listening in on this conversation.
100%. You're right. Oh, yeah.
You know, so it's just like, can we blame Jerry for how he treated her? Because she presented herself that way.
You know, she made it too easy in a lot of ways. I completely agree with both your takes on that. She really, it's almost like the thrill is gone. Especially if you know when someone likes you and you're like, gotcha, bitch, like that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I can do what the fuck I want to do now. Like, it's game on. Like, once they show your hand, it's shitty to say, but it's the truth. Like, whoever shows their hand first loses. Yeah. So you better be goddamn sure. You better be sure that they feel the same way about you before you show your shit. And the fact she's like, hi, nice to meet you. Here, I'm holding a pair of kings or whatever, you know, in a poker analogy. Like, oh, cool. I have, you know, two. I have a pair of twos. I'm going to get this bitch because she doesn't know what I have, you know, kind of thing.
So did he not have any mentors in the game? You know,
he did. He had that old guy kept flashing back to.
Did he say that was his mentor or was it somebody that he idolized?
That was somebody that he idolized.
Yeah.
All right. Because I don't think a guy like that, if that was his mentor, I don't think he, I don't think it was his mentor. I just think it was a guy that he idolized, that he listened to, like, you know, audiobooks or read articles and shit that he wrote. And you might have kind of patterned his career after him, because it's evident that this young 35-year-old man in this cutthroat industry did not have any mentors to guide him through this shit. Because first of all, when you have a number one pick prospect, I even know this, and this is not my fucking field. You signed a motherfucking contract. So this dude, you know, trying not to betray his morals or whatever and just kind of want to take people at face value and their word and everything is admirable, but it's fucking stupid in business, you know? So you mean to tell me this guy that is like the top agent in this field, like, wouldn't get the fucking clue? Because I imagine that he's seen, especially the way he got fired. He knew that guy was an asshole. He knew he was working for an asshole. What make you think that, like, the world isn't like that, to where you can just trust a motherfucker at his word to not sign this contract and shit, you know?
Right.
So I don't understand that aspect of it. I mean, how can you be in that field and be that fucking naive? The fucking pacing of this film, just the time skips, just like everything, it felt rushed. And it was cold, like how you were saying, how they went to the draft night. He went to the airport to supposed to be picking up Rod and everything. He just walked up to the man, shook his hand, left, and went off to Cushman, the number one pick and shit. Just like, that's highly fucking disrespectful. And for him to stick around with a dude that would do that to you, you know, and I'm, you know, I'm paying you, you my freaking guy. Nah, that shit don't fly, son. But I don't know. That's probably a testament to like how good he was, to where he would eat shit like that just to keep him on retainer or whatever. But like, still, come on, player.
To play devil's advocate, maybe Rod didn't have any other options like that. Maybe McGuire was his only hope.
True.
I don't know. But that could be.
I mean, it can be like that.
I was going to say, remember at the end, though, Jerry Maguire's his former mentee, the guy that took all his clients, he comes up to Rod and he's
Bob
like,
Bob Sugar.
Yeah, he's like, I know this isn't the right time, but you know, give me a phone call, yada yada. And like in Bob Sugar?
Yeah, Bob Sugar, right.
Bob Sugar, he's familiar with Rod because he even says, say hi to Marcy, which is Regina Hall's character. So he's like, he knows the guy, he knows his family, which makes sense because they were all at that company. Yeah. So I'm like, I feel like he does have, I didn't really understand why Rod stuck with Jerry because it's like, clearly this other guy would take you on. Like, I feel like.
Mm-hmm. Well, at this point, when he got fired and everything, I mean, it was all out war. You know, it was just like, well, you don't work for me no more. Well, fuck you. So any chance I get, I'm stealing your shit or I'm putting up roadblocks and everything. And that was kind of like the gist of the movie and everything, you know, especially when he broke up with his former fiance and everything and she whipped his ass or whatever. They had like
the shit out of him,
fucking like love hate relationship and shit. That was hilarious.
I forgot about this scene. I mean, she was beating the crap out of
your voice. I don't know how I feel about their relationship because I kind of see what he was getting at. But at the same time, this movie did so horribly at editing the length of time between instances and everything that I feel like it could have been better if they, you know, hey, this was over a course of this many months or weeks or anything like that to develop that relationship. Because it felt like straight up shotgun shit or whatever. Oh, you're in my vicinity. I like you. Let's get married. And I like your kid. And I only met him like 3 times throughout the movie and shit. So, you know. Just better pacing in like a straight up, hey, this is the amount of time that's passed between this and this and this.
Right on. Give me is that it or you have more? Sorry,
yeah, I'm that's all I got.
You got it. Cool. Give me a number 1 to 10 on your thoughts of this film, sir.
As much as we ragged on this,
here we
I'm
go.
I'm gonna probably give it a 5.
All right, so you don't hate it.
I don't hate it so much or whatever, but like, I don't know. It's just because I know it is 90s type cheese and shit.
Right.
And I'm like, I don't hate it. So it's like, well, I gave it 5. I don't hate it, but I'm like, let's just acknowledge that it isn't as perfect as people want to believe it
hell
is.
No.
Yeah.
We'll
this
get into it.
This is a fucking dumpster fire. This is a fucking clusterfuck.
Right, hey, have you folks written a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review about this podcast? Why not? If you haven't, please go on your podcast platform and do so. Post haste. We love it. And I love screenshotting my favorite reviews and posting them on social media. Of course, being at GTSE Podcast and Gutting the Sacred Cow Podcast on Instagram and Facebook and TikTok. And of course, if you want to email us for to advertise with us, guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com is the place to do so. Notes. Some people watch TV when they can't sleep. Some people play video games or beat off. Jerry Maguire, when he can't sleep, writes what he turns out to be the world's largest and first blowhard LinkedIn post.
True.
It's fun to see Renee Zellweger before she was stung by 800 bees in that last botched cosmetic surgery. Oof. But even back in the day, she always has that look on her face like she either A, got squirted in the eye with a lemon, or B, walked through someone's fart cloud. Her face is always scrunched up in bemusement. I don't know why. And here they are. Oh, the peasants complaining about those people who sit in first class. Stop. We've heard that. Screenwriter, we've heard that same trope a million times. Anyone knows to sit in first class, you just open up a new credit card and then a new airline credit card so you can, and what's the benefit of sitting in first class? You get a C-minus meal with 9 more inches of leg room with a hot towel. But the big difference, of course, nothing beats sharing the bathroom with 8 to 12 upper middle class people versus the hoi polloi you face sharing a bathroom in steerage.
I don't know, that extra 9 inches of leg room, you know,
it's huge. I'm a taller fellow. I'm 6'2", my friend. I get either I'll pay for the exit row or I'll do my best to get bumped up.
Oh, you're right.
Yep.
Right.
And let's not forget the quote I forgot to mention at the top. Don't ever stop fucking me. Something that Rob didn't hear because he watched edited version. Tristan,
this is true.
This is where Kelly Preston had never, ever had to tell John Travolta that in a real-life marriage. Fantastic acting by Tom Cruise by not vomiting on Kelly Preston when she was, in fact, riding him.
Damn.
I'm surprised you two didn't jump on this. You touch on it for a second. Who is the psychopath asshole friend who thought it was a great idea to find all of Jerry Maguire's exes and make a goddamn highlight reel?
Yes. It was probably that guy,
Bob Sugar.
Fired him, right?
Yeah, that guy. It was probably that guy.
Yeah. That guy should be injected with monkeypox and then be the main star of a Viking funeral. I would boot that motherfucker's ass so hard for doing me dirty at my own bachelor party.
I know. And it was just like to establish so hard, you know, I mean, they really hammered in the point that he does not like to be alone.
Right.
You know?
Can you imagine the guy like, hey, I need 5 minutes of your time on screen to tell me why this guy is a loser. And then, oh, let me burn his black book for the fiance. What a joke. Cuba Gooding Jr. kills this role. Even as played out as the show me the money scene is, it is a great scene. You always smile. Hey, by the way, any of you guys ever quit a corporate America job? I have. Guess what? You don't get 3 minutes like the Oscars to give a soliloquy. If you raise your voice, security swarms you faster than Ruby was after he shot Oswald in the police department parking lot in 1963.
And that was another quotable that kind of escaped from this. Who's coming with me?
Yeah. A divorced woman's group sounds worse than running out of gas in the south side of Chicago.
Arvider, Texas.
That meeting must sound like a combo of hens cackling and bees buzzing.
It might not smell good either.
This is the most camera time that Drew Bledsoe has received without someone mentioning the name Tom Brady. I got Rob on that one. Bob Sugar is the type of guy who walks to the front of the plane to crop dust his way all the way back to his seat in 34F.
You're right. I can see it. Don't want to smell it, though.
Kelly Preston whipping Tom Cruise's ass faster than Frank Dukes whipped that African guy who had Don King's hair in Bloodsport. I'm going with a lot of deep cuts in 80s films here, folks. Oh, yeah. If you're with me, great. Yes, if you're not,
I'm with you.
I appreciate you. It looks like Renee Zellweger slightly beat out Joey Lauren Adams in the battle of generic blonde lookalikes in the 90s. Hmm. Renee Zellweger's character is 26 in this film. She looks like a hard 33 or older to me. 26, my ass.
Yeah.
That's like the 35-year-old seniors in, you know, high school movies, a.k.a. Teen Wolf. How many times do you think Tom Cruise asked Jonathan Lipnicki if he had a hot uncle in real life?
Oh, that's fucked up.
Allegedly. Here's one for you fellas. I don't think Tom Cruise has ever been drunk in his life based on his portrayal of being drunk at Dorothy's house. When he was drunk, I'm like, that guy's never been drunk. Stop it.
Hey, man, he might be straight edge.
That's fine, but his portrayal of a drunk was laughable at best.
Yeah. It's just like he was real sleepy.
Yeah. And just trying to improv his way through that with the, you know what? I saw Barfly once. Let me go through this. Another 80s film. Whoops. Hey, why have a Chris Elliott lookalike, Google him, young people, he's a genius, as your kid's babysitter? And there is nothing worse than a white guy who keeps trying to force feed jazz into everyone's lives.
Yeah, that trying to save that hair up top too. I wasn't feeling it.
The reverse flesh yarmulke. Yeah. Laurel, Dorothy's sister, is like every girl at the bar who is the mother hen, in quotes, of the group. By cock blocking her other friends. She was always the driver of those hot friends because she can control the night's destiny because she has been too many times been marooned at some random dude's house while her friend's off fucking away and she's stuck because that other friend has the keys. So
I've been that friend, yep. And I've taken advantage of that friend as well.
I always tell my friend, go for the driver. She controls the night. Yeah. This film needs editing a lot. Yes. Who is the editor of this film? Judd Apatow?
Slap Chop was the editor of this goddamn film.
This film is really dragging in the late second / early third act. Call me, I must be dense because I missed this. I'm not getting the reason they had to break up, except for the plot's need to have some kind of stakes to do something different for this point. I didn't see, they're just having some basic couples arguments. There was nothing that was catastrophic or kind of irreversible damage done where they're like, you know what? Fuck it. You know what? We went this too quickly. We goofed up. No, there was nothing there that screamed oof, that's bad. Nothing. Nah, so
not at all. I mean,
didn't buy that.
It didn't seem breakup worthy or whatever. Being a man that's been married, going on 15 years. It's right. Man, that's like a Sunday afternoon argument or some shit.
I mean, was she just, unless she was hiding how she has stomach acid farts and just fart and blast off every 15 minutes that she hid from him in the beginning. Other than that, I didn't see anything here that warranted a breakup. It's weird timing here as we tape this that we just saw Damar Hamlin get hurt, and here's Rod Tidwell getting clobbered in the end zone they're going to catch, and everyone crowding over him, except no one was snapping fingers over Damar Hamlin.
They didn't even have the smelling salts.
I was just going to say smelling salts.
That was weird. That was so weird.
All right. So for all you football fans like me out there and sports fans and sticklers for this, Rod Tidwell in real life game would get 15 yards for excessive celebration for climbing the gate. The Lambeau leap is one thing. The dude's scaling a wall. Nope. And another 15 yards for taking his helmet off while on the field. This is what happened, folks, when you have a nerdy screenwriter that doesn't have a fact checker watching, doing his work.
Well, I mean, they did kind of try to cover it up a little bit because one of the sportscasters or whatever,
he's like,
be careful, he's going to get a flag for this one.
NFL, especially back in the day, now they allow celebratory dances, but back in the day, they had a hair trigger. Remember, Randy Moss is doing the moon? Boom, fine. Joe Horn pulling the cell phone out of the goalpost? Fine. So the flag, all these guys getting flagged. All right. So I dug the first two-thirds of this film. It's even more, though, amazing that Jerry Maguire surrounds himself with a bunch of douche canoes like Kelly Preston and Jay Moore and openly opines for their loss for a little bit. That last act really slowed down. It really dragged. 15 minutes, half hour.
The movie didn't pick up for me until he got fired.
Yeah.
After that, I was like, all right, now we're doing something. Let's see what's happening.
Right on. Cruise is, and I made no bones about it in many other podcasts, Tom Cruise is the best action film we've had in the last 25 years. No one can argue that. And he is fantastic in damn near everything. He bats 750 in my book. 3 out of 4 of his films are winners. Cuba Gooding Jr. is
he talk out his nose to me.
That's fine, but he makes great films and he's a fantastic producer and does his own stunts. I give him credit. Cuba Gooding Jr. is amazing in this. The little kid is cute as a button. Renee Zellweger was meh. People are throwing bouquets at her. Why? I didn't think she was all that great. Did you, fellas?
She seemed out of place to me.
She was all right.
I don't know if that was like a choice because she was playing a young person,
right,
or whatever. But just the dialogue and the inflection and the tones from all the three of the main characters, Rod, Jerry and Dorothy, whatever, this movie felt like it could be performed on Broadway to me.
Sure. Thankfully, they don't have singing in it because I'd be out if that was the case. Singing the dialogue and I'm cooked.
You complete me.
Show me the money. Show me the money would definitely be a song.
You my motherfucker.
Like a whole bunch of dancers throwing money in the air and shit.
You my motherfucker. I'm Mr. Black People. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, this could work.
Yeah.
Write it. TMTM gutting to say.
I like this film. I like it. It does not pass the remote test. Tristan, for those of you who don't know the remote test by now, if you turn it on the TV and you catch it at any juncture of the film, you drop the remote and say, well, I know what I'm doing for the next half hour, hour, what have you. This does not pass the remote test for me. I maybe will watch this once or twice before I drop dead of boredom, but I will not watch this anytime soon. It's a 6.5 out of 10 for me. There are some good moments. There is a lot of fat in this film. Oh, yes. It's not as great as everybody says it is, Tristan. I'm with you 100%. So we've got a 5, a 5, and a 6.5. And the Bruce Springsteen song, not a fan. I guess those are the moments people love this film for. Those cheesy romantic moments, the Bruce Springsteen song, and Cuba Gooding Jr. as well. So that's how I summarize this film. Critics, five-star reviews. Jerry Maguire still holds up as a superb emotional roller coaster.
No.
Charming comedy and surprisingly deep meditation on intimacy, connectivity, and toxic masculinity.
Wow.
Okay. 1, 2, 3. Ugh. Stop it.
God, they really loved it, huh?
This dialogue is superb, bringing these relatable characters and their grounded situations an extraordinary sense of authenticity and hilarity. You can't put hilarity in the same sentence as Jerry Maguire. This is not Airplane, American Pie, Borat, Friday, I don't know, whatever your choices are, Naked Gun. This is not hilarity. No one's going, did you see how funny this movie was? Stop it.
It might have had a little more comedic edge to it if it was
sure.
I agree. Yeah.
Well, show me the money, Jerry. That's my Tom Hanks impression, which is goddamn awful. Next one. On the jock front, Gooding is so believable in his role as Jerry's selfish, pea-brained wide receiver client that the Dallas Cowboys might consider signing him to compliment Michael Irvin. This is the best critics review I've ever read on this podcast because it's spot on.
Wait, Rod was selfish? Did they not see the what? Rod was selfish
because he had this
pea brain
on field and with his teammates and shit. But when he was with his wife and family or whatever, he was a whole different person.
Well, and then Jerry points that out, but he's selfish in the sense of I'm all about the money and that's it. I'm not about the team. I'm not about winning. I'm about the money. That's where the selfish element comes from my guess.
Is Jerry really should Jerry really be judging anybody on selfishness? And I don't think he's the, I feel like it's the right message, but wrong messenger, because Jerry can't judge anybody on being selfish.
Yeah, because he did everything for his own benefit for the most part and everything.
And he neglected, and he had been
he had some Rod. Selfless sure. moments, but it was majority for his benefit.
Cruz gives perhaps his most appealing performance ever in what is arguably his best movie. I'll gladly argue that this person is wrong.
Nah. Shit, I like Jack Reacher. I like goddamn
Vanilla
Sky more than this.
Jack Reacher was pretty good.
The first one was decent. The second one was an abysmal piece of shit.
Yeah. Yep. It was just like.
And I read the books.
We got you for two films. Let's hurry up and make the second one.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah. Minority Report is better than this. Mission Impossible, all of them. And I love Mission Impossible films. All of them is better than this. Edge of Tomorrow, better than
Edge
this.
Edge of Tomorrow is, I believe bonkers. By far that's his best movie to me. Edge of Tomorrow.
I love that film. It's so underrated. Everyone who's seen it will fight on the hill for that film because it is so goddamn good and so criminally underrated and unappreciated.
And they'll call it Live, Die, Repeat instead of Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah. Critics, 1-star reviews. A meandering and deeply shallow tale of spiritual redemption, built around the Teflon persona of Tom Cruise and driven by the conviction that emotions worth expressing can be summed up in pop songs. No. Lauded as a witty moral fable Lauded as a witty moral fable with a revelatory performance from its star, this romantic comedy is in fact meretricious, manipulative, and reactionary. Oh yeah? Well, I think this reviewer is a logophile and undoubtedly a disciple of purple prose. See, we all can Google words that people don't regularly use and try and seem like a pseudo-intellectual, and then when we call you on the carpet, doesn't feel so good, does it? I hate these reviewers. I hate them. Amazon 5-star reviews. Renee Zellweger, the best actress of her generation.
No.
Oh, wow.
Guys, did we ever hear of someone called Meryl Streep?
Goldie Hawn. I mean,
Goldie Hawn. Hold on a second. I have to call you on that one, Rob. Goldie Hawn.
Death Becomes Her is awesome.
Yeah, guess what? Meryl Streep, by far. Renee Zellweger, the best actress of her generation, appears in her first big-time role in this movie. Just looking at her facial expressions is worth the price of admission. No. Again, the who farted face for 2.5 hours did not move me. Did it move you, fellas? I don't think so.
No, nope.
Tom Cruise is big head, and then he becomes good person. Me, John, you big tree. Great adult movie. It doesn't have anything X-rated. Its themes are just appreciated by young or mature adults, finding yourself, making life count, etc. I mean, did they not miss the part where he's banging out?
Preston.
Kelly Preston, thank you.
Yeah. Like that was like towards the beginning of the film. Like, how did they?
First 10 minutes.
You're right.
Or goddamn on her doorstep when he damn took her dress off damn near.
That's true.
Kissing her all down her fucking chest and shit.
You get some side boob too. It's a good old time in our house. This title of this review is called Let's Bang It Out. Mm-hmm. This movie has it all except for one thing: full penetration. I mean, how romantic can a love story be without a schlong and a hot juicy box? I think the kid died in real life, or at least I hope he did, because he's annoying. I think Kelly Preston is married to a guy named Vinny Barbarino who sexually harasses masseurs. Lucky bastards. Anyway, grab some rubbers, water-based lubricants, and your female or male love interest and get your hump on.
No.
The movie is circa Dawson's Creek, so it brings back all those great memories of being young. Guys, did I miss where Katie Holmes screamed out, "Don't stop fucking me," to James Vanderbeek? Right. I love this. This movie has all except for one thing: full penetration.
I mean, shit, hell, you had damn near Cuba Gooding Jr. schlong hanging out. In the film.
There was a lot of man ass in this film.
See those locker room scenes. I was like, wow, they really.
They almost went where no or Any Given Sunday went, where they're showing full dong. Love that film. Not for the full dong, but
mostly, I was about to say.
Mostly for Lawrence Taylor, for that's for sure. And Jesse Spano. Amazon 1-star reviews. Get ready to hate this person, fellas. Misogyny disguised as a chick flick.
Next.
Right, yeah. Moving on.
I think you fellas both pointed out how she was equally as fault as he was.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, yes, definitely.
This movie was irritatingly boring and weird. First of all, Tom Cruise's character is way too cocky. It makes me want to punch him. Have you ever met a sports agent that wasn't you, dummy, or know someone who knew someone who may have passed someone in the street who was a sports agent? That's what they do. Yeah. Also, Renee Zellweger and him have absolutely no chemistry, so there's zero chance... I'm reading this as cut and paste. To Ken really believe they should be together by the end. It was just so lame, extremely low, and way too long. I was forced to buy this movie, and I never have a regret, and I have never regret a purchase more in my life. Again, I cut and paste. I think the second biggest regret of a purchase is, if you read this, the bitch fell off t-shirt.
Yeah, I mean, he did make some points that all three of us touched on in this, in this podcast so far or whatever, but like everything else is just kind of off base.
I think I must be crazy. I think Tom Cruise is an excellent actor, and so are all the other participants. Like they're part of like a field day.
Oh, yeah, good job. Yeah. Good job. You did it. You acted.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for carrying the orange slices, fellas. The other participants in this movie, and the writing is pretty snazzy too. The problem is the plot is ridiculous. Evil agent suddenly becomes good agent, and then spends the rest of his time up to no particular good or much of anything. Also, young single mom quits job because evil agent suddenly announces he's good. Quits job that rich evil agent, who suddenly becomes poor, can't pay her anymore after offering job. I give up.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Last one. Ugh. While watching, this all I could think of was, show me the ending, because it's so long.
That's pretty funny.
I like that one, yeah.
Had this movie been a lot shorter, I would have liked it a lot better, but it just dragged on and on and on to the point where I didn't really care anymore. I wanted to say to the point, I wanted to say, oh, fuck this up. I wanted to say, show me the phone books that Tom Cruise stood on to bang Kelly Preston.
That's fucked up. But he ain't lying.
Rob, did Tristan gut the sacred cow?
I think he did. I mean, it's an overrated movie. I still kind of like it or whatever, but it's just like the relationship aspect of it kind of drives me up the wall a little bit, because I was just like, it's the editing. It's just like, I need to know more, you know, how much time has elapsed other than the freaking 2-hour and 19-minute, you know, overall movie marker and shit. I need some delineation of time in the goddamn film.
That's the problem. You don't know the time frame. I thought it was more just dragged out in parts that were superfluous.
Well, yeah, it's just like, it's so stupid.
Yes.
But just again, playing devil's advocate, guys, I don't think there are many people out there. And again, Herd, that's what we call the fan group, Herd. Correct me if I'm wrong. Who's out here defending this movie on the hill? Like, again, like us three defending Edge of Tomorrow. No one's out here going, fuck you, Jerry Maguire is your shit, and I will fight you where you stand. No one's saying that.
You know, the last time I heard, like, for real, the last time I heard somebody.
No, how about for real?
The last time I heard anyone talk about Jerry Maguire, do you know when that was?
1997, the year after this came out.
No. When you asked me to be on for the Jerry Maguire. That was the last time I even thought of this movie.
Yeah, this is something you're not, people aren't running around going, oh, dude, you know, Jerry Maguire's been on HBO a lot. I get sucked right in every time. No. Pulp Fiction, Shawshank, LA Confidential, The Matrix, Die Hard, Clerks, all those, Naked Gun. Those are the ones you're like, yo, turn it on right now. It's on.
I'm not hearing anybody running around saying, show me the money anymore. Way back when, yeah, but not nowhere near now. It has no lasting or staying power.
Tristan, where can the good folks find you? What are you up to? Shout out everything that you wish to announce and promote.
Okay, great. So as we mentioned earlier, I write for Geek Vibes Nation. I'm a book reviewer and film critic for that website. I also write for The Cinema Spot and United by Pop, again, doing book reviews and interviews and film reviews and things like that. You can find me on all social media platforms under Tristan, TRISTIAN, circa 89. So yeah, please check me out.
Please do, and make sure you get that second I in there. I mistakenly omitted that. Not able to tag him and go, what the hell? I thought he would say jumping here and there, but that's my fault because I misspelled his name like a dumb. My apologies.
No, I was going to say, I've been misspelling Jerry Maguire. It's M-A, not M-C in Maguire.
Yeah, I did that too.
Oh, you do? Really? I better note that for the episode.
I was going to say that. Please note that.
Maguire. Rob, my friend. Maguire. Rob, my friend, we've been doing this dancing together for a while. I'm glad I got you on my show because you've been kind enough to have me on your show a bountiful times.
Word.
Why don't you tell everybody what you're up to, what you're planning, and where we can find you?
Word. You can find me hosting the Random Ramblings with Rob podcast once weekly on all social media platforms. You can find me on Twitter at 3R Show, Instagram at the 3R Show. And if you are into professional wrestling, you can listen to me live with my co-host on RBR Weekly Wrestling Talk, live every Wednesday after AEW Dynamite on twitch.tv/RBR Wrestling.
Make sure you're checking out guttingthesacredcow.com to get some sweet ass merch, t-shirts, hats, mugs, bags, you name it, we have it. guttingthesacredcow@gmail.com. And again, please leave a 5-star rating, 2 or 3 sentence review on your podcast platform of choice. We appreciate that. Fellas, it's been a goddamn delight talking with you two gentlemen on this fine evening. Tristan, Rob, thanks again for hanging out with me. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
We will see you folks next week. And again, thanks a ton for giving us an hour plus of your week. We love you. Avita Zen.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.